Welcome back to the deep dive. You, the learner, know we love taking these big internal concepts and, well, making them manageable. Today, we're navigating the inner storms.
The really turbulent ones.
Exactly. The ones that feel like boiling water in your mind, completely clouding your judgment.
That's a perfect way to put it. And today's deep dive is tailored specifically for you, focusing on the second of the five hazards we encounter. We're talking about ill will.
And we're drawing our insights from the RAFT program material, specifically the chapter that zeroes in on this one hazard.
We are. Our mission today is to really understand why this hazard is so incredibly dangerous, especially when we're off the cushion, just living our lives.
And what we can do about it, how to deploy our mental strengths to, you know, steady the course when that storm hits.
Right. So to set the stage, let's just quickly place this within the RAFT journey. RAFT, the acronym, stands for Recognize, Abandon, Freedom, and Train.
And we're deep in that third stage, freedom.
Deep in freedom. This is where you actively meet the obstacles, the hazards, that stand in the way of real internal autonomy.
So when we talk about a hazard, we're not talking about a personal failing or something being wrong with you.
Absolutely not. And the material is so clear on this. The five hazards, or what some traditions call the hindrances, are... they're just universal weather patterns of the mind.
Everyone gets them.
Everyone. Our job isn't to beat ourselves up for them. It's to become skilled navigators, to know how to handle the weather.
And the weather pattern for today is ill will, or vyapada. That's a huge term, isn't it?
It's a massive umbrella. It covers everything from, you know, mild irritation or feeling a bit cold towards someone.
All the way up to resentment, hostility.
And full-blown rage. Yeah. It's the whole spectrum. And this is all anchored in a really foundational idea from Gautama the Buddha.
Let me guess. The one about hatred.
That's the one. Hatred is never appeased by hatred in this world. By non-hatred alone is hatred appeased. This is an eternal law.
That one sentence just sets the entire stage, doesn't it? You can't fight fire with more fire.
You just get a bigger fire.
Okay, so let's unpack this. The RAFT program has a specific name for this hazard.
It does. On a navigational chart, it's called the Tempest of Hostility and Resentment.
A tempest. So what's the core mechanism? Why does this even come up in the first place?
What's so fascinating is that it almost always starts as a protective impulse. It's this very human, very understandable wish not to be hurt.
So we feel threatened or wronged, and the mind just throws up a shield.
Instantly. It's an attempt at self-preservation.
That makes so much sense. We think, if I hold this grudge, I won't get fooled again. Or maybe if I stay angry, I'm safe from them.
Exactly that. But the problem starts when that shield becomes rigid, when it contracts. That healthy desire for protection gets twisted into hostility.
So what started as self-care becomes this exhausting internal state of agitation.
And it creates more conflict, not less. It's a terrible long-term strategy.
And nothing shows that loss of clarity better than the famous simile from the texts.
The boiling water simile.
Yes.
Gautama said a mind that's, you know, afflicted by ill will is like a pot of boiling water.
I can picture that, all turbulent and bubbly.
Turbulent, distorted, bubbles, steam, the whole thing.
Mm.
And because of all that chaos, it's utterly impossible to see a clear reflection.
So you can't trust your own judgment.
You can't trust your decision-making, your perception, your moral compass. Nothing is clear until that heat subsides.
That really hits home. It's not just about feeling bad. It's about losing wisdom itself, which I think brings us to the real danger here, the impact off the cushion.
This is the critical shift from theory to, well, to consequence. If this was only a problem when you were sitting quietly, it would be one thing.
It's not.
It's not. The real peril is in those high-stakes moments, in our relationships, at work, when we feel that sense of injustice.
And we all know what happens. You feel that flash of heat, and a second later, you've said something you can never, ever take back.
That is the mental black hole in action. Ill will, especially, acts like a black hole that triggers an immediate failure of our executive function.
Okay, executive function failure. Can we slow down on that? What does that actually look like for someone on a difficult Tuesday afternoon?
In plain English, it's the failure of our inhibitory control.
The mental breaks.
We lose the ability to hit the mental breaks. Our executive functions, you know, they let us plan, organize, and most importantly, stop ourselves from reacting impulsively. When the mind is boiling with ill will, those functions just go offline.
So if my boss sends me a really infuriating email and I feel that heat rising in my chest, in that moment, I actually can't choose a wise response.
Not without a tremendous conscious effort to break the cycle, The heart contracts around that fight-or-flight response, and your whole perception just narrows down to the story of your grievance.
All you can see is the threat, the injustice.
That's all. The mind is locked on retaliation or defense. And that's when we're most prone to reactive speech, impulsive actions.
The things that, as the material says, can scuttle our raft.
Precisely. They torpedo our long-term goals. We get swept away by those old, painful habits, the toxic currents of resentment. And it can lead to years of regret over something that happened in 3 seconds.
That's a powerful picture of the cost. So if ill will is so destructive, but it feels so urgent and protective, why do we keep falling for it? What are the mistaken ideas?
This is maybe the most insightful part of the raft material. It breaks down 3 deeply mistaken intuitions. These are the stories the mind tells itself to keep the aversion going.
Okay, let's take the first one.
The first is the belief that ill will protects me. This is the core illusion. If I stay angry, if I stay suspicious, I won't be hurt again. We use it like a suit of armor.
But the armor is made of fire.
Yeah, exactly. It's a shield that burns the person holding it. In reality, ill will just breeds more conflict and agitation. It leaves you more exposed, not less. It's the ultimate false safety.
Okay, so what's intuition number 2?
Ill will is purification. This is a tricky one. This is when we feel that harshness or contempt is somehow necessary to clean up a wrong.
Like, my anger is what helps me see the truth and motivates me to act. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Many do. It taps into our deep, deep need for justice. But we have to look at the root of the feeling. Ill will, by its very definition, comes from an unwholesome root. It's rooted in aversion, in hatred.
So it stains the very mind that's trying to do the cleaning.
You can't use a tainted tool for a noble goal. Mm. Anger narrows our view, it kills empathy, and it makes us prone to cruelty in the name of being right. You can stand against injustice with clarity, but the material is clear. Clarity does not require the internal fire of rage.
In fact, the rage gets in the way of the clarity.
It obscures it, which leads to the third mistaken intuition.
Which is?
That ill will fixes what is wrong. This is when we use aversion like a crude tool to control the world. The thinking is, if I hate this situation enough, it will stop.
Which almost never works.
It's completely ineffective. It just leads to a tangled mess of unskillful actions, more resentment, and it deepens those destructive habits instead of solving anything. We end up fighting a battle that was mostly in our own head.
So you can't just push it down or ignore it. The only way through is to actively cultivate the opposite.
That's the only way. To cultivate non-ill will, goodwill, clear seeing. You move from fighting the storm to skillfully steering the boat. And the raft program gives us tools for that.
The 5 defenders and the 7 supports.
Exactly. We've covered the 5 defenders before, and the 7 supports are coming up soon. These are the stabilizing forces.
So when that tempest of hostility hits, what do we deploy right away? Which tools are the first responders?
You go straight for the ones that address the heat and that feeling of contraction. So from the defenders, the number one tool is healing mindfulness.
Just noticing it.
Noticing the very first signs. That clench in your jaw, the heat in your face, that sudden urge to type a furious reply. You have to interrupt the momentum.
Catch the steam before the water boils.
You got it. Then you deploy discernment. That's the wisdom factor. It's a part of your mind that can look at the situation and see the true long-term cost. It reminds you, this is a fire that will only burn me.
And then you need the strength to actually do something different.
And that's courageous effort. That's the strength to choose non-reaction, to actively decide not to feed the fire, even when every part of you feels it's justified.
And if we look ahead to the 7 supports, what can we use from there?
Oh, the calming factors are crucial here. You can use energetic joy, which sounds totally counterintuitive when you're angry.
It really does.
But joy is what softens bitterness. It's an expansive quality that fights the contraction of resentment. And then critically, you use deep calm to soothe that agitated nervous system.
I think the most practical tip in all this for me was the idea of widening the pause.
It is the ultimate countermeasure. You have to learn to treat that first physical sign of heat as a universal warning signal. A man overboard alarm for your old habits. The immediate action is to drop anchor.
And you do that just by naming it. Just saying in your head, oh, ill will is here.
That's it. That little bit of space, that pause between the trigger and your response.
Mm.
That is the supreme act of self-care. It's what gives you back your choice. It's inhibitory control coming back online.
And once you have that pause, what's next?
Then you can use the skills. First, as you said, recognize and sealing. Name it, but gently. Ill will is here. Not, I'm so angry, but ill will is present. It creates a little separation.
Then you have to stop feeding it, right? You have to turn attention skillfully.
You have to starve the hazard. You release the story. You try to soften the body. And then you intentionally feed the opposite. You feed friendliness. You feed compassion.
And Gautama actually gave a specific toolkit for this, the 5 ways to remove resentment.
He did. It's a very practical list. First, actively cultivate goodwill for the person or situation. Second, cultivate compassion for them and for yourself. Third, rest in equanimity.
Fourth is strategic non-attention. That feels like the hardest one. Just stop thinking about it.
It is so hard because a story is so compelling. It's like a drama you can't look away from. It takes that courageous effort. But if you stop replaying the injury, the heat has no fuel.
And the fifth?
To reflect on ownership of deeds. The idea that everyone is the heir to their own actions, it softens our need to punish because we see that consequences are already built into their actions.
The ideal for this is, it's pretty extreme, the simile of the saw.
It's a very high bar. It's meant as a contemplative benchmark. Can you maintain a steady, unharmed mind full of goodwill, even under the most extreme provocation imaginable? It shows that true freedom is internal. It's not dependent on how others behave.
This raises a really important question, though. If we practice all this non-hatred, does that mean we just become doormats? Do we just let injustice happen?
Not at all. And the sources are so clear about this. This is about establishing wise boundaries.
Yep.
This whole practice allows for complete moral clarity without reactive anger.
So I can say a firm no.
A firm, clear no. But that no is rooted in a desire for safety and well-being for everyone involved, not a desire to punish the other person.
So setting a boundary becomes an act of kindness, really, for yourself and for the whole situation.
Precisely. You're choosing to release what's harmful. A situation, a relationship, not because you're at war with it, but because it's a dangerous shore that's compromising your clarity and your entire journey. Mm. The action is firm, but the heart stays steady.
This has been such a critical deep dive. Navigating these hot, turbulent states is something we all face.
And the core message is simple, really. Ill will, this tempest of hostility, it's a passing storm. It's often just a distorted attempt at protecting ourselves.
And by recognizing it early, using healing mindfulness, and choosing to cool the fire with these practices, we keep our clarity. We keep our raft steady. Before we wrap up, we have to mention that the RAFT to Freedom workbook, which is the source of all these insights, is written by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen. And in an incredible act of generosity, they are making all 66 chapters of this program freely available online.
It's a truly profound resource.
You can find all of it and start your own deep dive at raft2freedom.org. That's raft, the number 2, freedom.org.
It is absolutely worth your time.
So as you go about your week and you feel those moments of heat or irritation, maybe consider this self-reflection prompt. What specific story keeps aversion alive in your life, and what truer, kinder story could you tell to loosen its grip?
And to really anchor this learning and to remind us of the personal cost of holding on to anger, I'll leave you with this final thought. It's from the ancient commentator Buddhaghosa. He said, "By doing this, you are like a man who wants to hit another and picks up a burning ember or excrement in his hand, and so first burns himself or makes himself stink.